It's Friday, the 17th of February. Welcome to episode 107 of Digital Outbox. Hi, and thanks for joining us again. With me tonight is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Not 107. Definitely 107, yeah?
Yeah. We need to drop that kind of...
I don't know where that came from, sorry.
No, it just sounds like geeks reading stuff out.
Very American.
Go figure.
Yeah.
How you been?
All good. Yeah. Working good. Hard, as ever.
Oh, bless. Bless. So I'm just pleased that I have an internet connection tonight.
Yeah, so that's we were supposed to do this podcast last night, but wasn't my internet connection that went down.
No, it was my super fast. Usain Bolt powered.
Usain Bolt ran off with the connectors. Yeah,
exactly, and even better, 25 minutes into a support call, which nobody'd answered. I was just going ring ring. I was actually playing some Aces. It just dropped. And I had rage for 5 minutes.
How annoying is that? You just hear that little click and that's your life wasted.
Thanks, Virgin.
Yeah. But they're better than NTL used to be.
Let's crack on. Yeah. Let's crack on with the news. And the first one was a big surprise for me. Apple announces Mountain Lion. And I had to pause and I said Mountain Lion because I keep on calling it Mountain Goat.
Isn't it? Yeah, Hill Sheep.
Or snow lion.
Where the hell did this come from? No one was expecting that one.
It's really nice. It's a bit like when a soap does something, and I don't watch soaps, but it's a bit like when a soap does something, and I'll hear from people going, "Oh, what's that? I had no idea it wasn't the papers." And this is just like.
Oh, come on! This is Geek World's version of soap. So yeah,
it is.
I mean, it feels 2 seconds since whatever the one we're on now is.
Well, it is. So it's only what, 9 months, 8 months since Lion came out.
But that's what they're saying, isn't it? They're going to go to a yearly release schedule. And we can't call it Mac OS X anymore. Or OS X. Nope. Whatever.
Yeah, if Henry was here, we'd be like, no!
He's not. So now, I mean, but just so it's just OS X or OS X. I reckon iOS X.
I'm going to go for OS X.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I can feel Henry. Chicken. Henry's kind of like wagging his finger at me and shaking his head.
Okay.
I still think this is more. It's just like a service pack. See, when you see the features, it just sounds like a service pack.
Yeah, but they're doing what we expected them to do, and most commentators expected them to do, which is they're just bringing everything in line with each other. So they're bringing iOS in line with OS X, OS X. I'm going to have to put slash after each time I say that.
and I've talked about the 10 tent poles again of this release.
The 10 tent poles.
Remember there was like when iOS 4 or 5, they talked about the tent poles or something.
Oh, no? Crap, I don't remember that. Anyway, probably asleep at that bit.
Let's do these quick because there's not much to it. The biggie probably is iCloud support. So this is all apps, as long as they're from the App Store, can now take advantage of iCloud support. And you have got a proper, almost like file management option with iCloud, because at the moment it's pretty dumb. You're saving stuff up and it's there and that's about it.
So this file system though is going to be the same as iOS. So it's basically going to be icons and that you can hold over each other and make into folders.
And a lovely linen background as well.
Of course, love the linen. Linen is the in thing to have. It looks it's funny. As soon as Apple put linen anywhere,
it's everywhere.
Everyone does it.
The only thing I'm glad is that nobody's got stitched leather, because that is one look that isn't good.
Everyone spotted that was a bad idea. Yeah, absolutely.
Messages is coming. So this is something that's been talked about or been wanted for a good old long time.
It had to come, didn't it?
Yeah. And that's out now, actually. So you can download the beta.
Okay. So that's basically messages. So you can talk to all of the different devices. So iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. And now your desktop can now talk along the same lines. So
and iChat is baked into that as well. So iChat disappears and is in messages, and it keeps all the chats in sync as well. So you can pick up your iPhone and continue the chat.
Yeah.
So it actually worked quite nicely. They've tidied up reminders and notes. They're now separate apps instead of being baked into Mail, which always felt a bit clunky.
Aye, yeah.
Notification Center. So that's
also
cunning.
Known as Goodbye Growl.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I bet Growl are a bit gutted.
Oh, that somebody quoted on Twitter yesterday that they started Growl years ago, seemingly in one of the, I think it was before I was an Apple user, seemingly in Mac OS 9. There was some sort of notification center, and the reason behind Growl was to get a notification center back into Mac many moons ago. I don't know if that's true or false. I might just have made that up.
But I want. Sounds good to me. No one remembers back then.
No.
But you know, I don't know if they are making money of it. I think there was a pay for version of Growl, wasn't there? I'm not sure about that. But if they
when it came to the App Store. It became a paid for.
Okay, there you go. That's what it was. So, but anyway, then that's going. But Notification Center sounds like a sensible idea. So again, the same concept that you get on iOS, with, you know, any application that's signed off can actually integrate with it.
I've just remembered. I meant to make a snarky comment about messages. So that'll be another place where I can get messages 2 hours after they were sent. I have real issues with that whole iMessage stuff. Sometimes it works really well, and other times it's very slow.
Yes, and seemingly there's no... Yeah, it's the number of retries and stuff, isn't it? That it tries to do it over a network rather than over you.
But the next one's a bit odd. Share sheets. It sounds bizarre, but basically they've put a share button everywhere. So you can easily share to like mail and messages and post photos to Flickr and Video, because Vimeo, they've teamed up with Flickr and Vimeo, so that's baked into the operating system now.
How does it work? I mean, where am I going to share a video? As in, if I have a video in my filing system?
I think so. So I expect to see it. So the screenshot I saw was baked into Safari. So you had this share sheet where you could easily, you know, send a video or post a photo to Flickr. I'm expecting to see it in things like iWorks and iPhoto and all that kind of thing.
So you're browsing the net, and instead of using the share buttons that are right by, say, the YouTube video you're watching, use Apple's method instead. Seems a bit weird to me.
But it's a bit like, if you look at iOS, it's like that as well. You know, they brought in Twitter, kind of baked into the operating system, and it just feels like another way of sharing. And speaking of Twitter, it's also now baked into OS 10.
Yes, that's a good point. So in the same way, I guess, that you I don't know what you'd tweet that you're working again. I'm doing the podcast. I don't know.
I think most people are going to have most people are going to have a Twitter app installed, or they're going to use a website. So I don't see the big deal.
Share Sheets is also just a rubbish name, isn't it? But we'll see.
I just saw it.
Sometimes things like that leech into your day and you actually end up thinking they're useful.
Game Center. I can see this being quite a biggie.
Yeah, and especially because that means you can, you know, potentially, you know, have proper cross gaming between desktop and iOS. Be good. I know that happens in some cases anyway, but.
My biggest disappointment, AirPlay mirroring, because I saw this and gave it a big yeehaw, because I thought this was iPad and iPhone sending to the Mac desktop rather than just to Apple TV, but it's the Mac desktops getting sent to Apple TV.
Again, why? What? So you've actually got a desktop that you can.
The biggie for me with AirPlay is I've got a little bit of software runs in the Mac Mini, and if there's a video I'm watching, I can just send it. And it'll fire up and I can view it, and it's great on the big screen. And that works really well. And I just thought this was it being baked in, but it's the other way around. Instead of just iOS devices sending to Apple TV, you can also send other Mac devices to your Apple TV. So if you wanted to share a presentation or something, I guess it's easy to send on to the big screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and the final one, which got a bit of press from developers more than anything else, was Gatekeeper. So a system where you can... Basically, it's application signing. And you can have three different settings. So you can basically set up a Mac so that it only run applications bought from the App Store, or it'll run any application, whether signed or unsigned, or the default choice when you install Mountain Lion. It still sounds odd. is that it'll only work with those from the App Store, plus those which have been signed by a developer. So Apple are providing a way for third-party developers, not through the App Store, to get a signature.
And it sounds like a very, very sensible thing. And it sounds like they've implemented it in a way that, you know, suits my own. What I'm trying to say is they're not forcing that these developers have to go and get signed. But it's up to the user if they want to install stuff that isn't signed. And I think that's the right way around. As long as they make that option available and not totally hidden away. I'm sure it will be hidden away a bit, but which is fair enough.
And as long as it's not...
At least you've got all those options. That's what the good point is.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I just hope this isn't a slippery slope, you know, so that in 2 years' time they say, oh, that option will turn it off now because most folk buy stuff in the App Store. And I hope that's not where we're going.
I don't think it is.
No.
And I like the fact that it's free of charge to get your ID from, if you want to be signed. I think it costs you money on Microsoft to do a similar type of thing. So that's a good sign. So I think it's a good development. I mean, there's always a worry, isn't it? Because you know that there's plenty of times where you just grab a little app because you're looking for a feature that you haven't got. For example, I found out the other day that you can't merge folders in OS X. That's ridiculous. If you drag one folder over another, it overwrites that folder and gets rid of anything. It doesn't merge it.
Disaster.
It is. When you just delete, because there's no way of recovering it, as I found out as well.
Oh, that's the most excited everything. I've seen you in a long time.
Oh, it bugged me. It bugged me. So I'd installed this little app that supposedly enabled me to merge folders. And I had no idea who'd written it, why they'd written it. And I just downloaded and ran it and thought, ooh, that's a bit dodgy.
Safari's also getting updated. And finally, a unified search URL bar. Because I hate now using anything but Chrome. See, when I have to use IE.
I get it wrong all the time.
So do I. And it's so annoying. I tape it in and then and I will wait for 10 seconds and then return back the, oh, I cannot parse this. Oh, I am so old.
Yeah, and as soon as Chrome did it, it just suddenly felt ridiculous to have two boxes, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a few other bits and pieces changing as well. Out in the summer, it will be paid, it won't be free. And there's a developer preview now.
Okay.
And another notable thing, this is the first time I've done this, a very different launch. I don't know if you read up how they launched this, in that they invited 20 to 25 press/tech bloggers and then talked to them individually. So John Gruber was invited to Apple. He went out, he sat down, Phil Schiller was there, who usually does the keynotes, with a Mac and an Apple TV and a couple other people. And they ran through a whole set of, you know, like, almost like a one-to-one launch.
That does sound interesting, but it sounds a little bit like they're, you know, there's a bit of, you couldn't really write a bad, after having that much attention lavished on you.
Exactly.
How can you write a bad thing about it?
And certainly Gruber said, when he was asked at the end, what did you think? He says, well, this, and he waved his hands around, this is weird. You know, the kind of one-to-one thing is weird.
What are we doing here? Like this.
So that was something very different. And that's Mountain Lion. Still love the fact it was a surprise. Still love it. Something that's also been quite a surprise is how much press we've got around our address books. So application access to contact data.
I think that has become boom.
Exactly. We talked last week. It was Path that had taken a hit for all this. And since then, Apple have been forced to respond.
Everyone's been forced to respond, it seems. It's got bigger and bigger and bigger. So Apple are going to change the... I mean, Apple's argument was that, well, we've already got lines in our terms and conditions which say that you can't do this. You can't send people's data out without asking. However, now they are going to bake in... a feature that forces that request to the user before you can send the user data around. So their address data, shall we say, specifically. So that seems like a good solution, but they were forced into that position because of all this that's been kicking off. So it started at Path, but it quickly spread and it's ended up at Twitter as well. We found out that Twitter holds all your address data for, I think it's 18 months or something like that on a retention policy.
Absolutely. And Foursquare were caught and quick release an update to kind of make it more apparent that they were actually downloading your address book. And as you said, Twitter was the worst, or not? I shouldn't say
it's
worst.
The biggest.
I'm sure it's the biggest. It's a fact to keep it for 18 months, and it's It's back to the point, I can't remember who said last week, might have been me, about the, if I leave a service, what happens? Yeah. And I guess we don't really pay much attention to that at the moment.
I have every confidence that, what's the service called? What's that? LinkedIn. I'm almost convinced that they'd do it, because they know, they find everything. The most weird connections that you do know those people, but you don't know how they know you know them. And the only way they could do that is by having address books that are across everyone.
Facebook, I've turned up a couple of odd links for me as well. You know, like wives of friends, and the friends aren't on Facebook. And I'm like, how have they figured that out?
Yeah.
And at first I thought the name was just coincidental. And I talked to one of the guys at work, and I said, is your wife on Facebook? They gave me the look of like,
how do you know?
Exactly. And I explained, and I said, look, I'm not going to like, you know, be her friend.
I guess,
but I just wanted to know if it was her, and it turned out it was. And it's like, how? I don't know how.
I guess as a user, you're expecting that, okay, you give them permission to look at your address book, to use that data to then see whether those people are already on, say, Facebook or whatever the service is, and then not do anything more with it. And that's what you imagine is happening. So I guess that's where this discrepancy happens. So they actually store all that information out there, and then they use that information for that cross seeding of friends and things going forward, which is not how, if you were just an everyday user, you'd expect it to be used. So I think it's being tidied up now anyway. So that's the next, seems like everyone's on the ball now.
I'm sure you said months ago as well that you just assumed that your address and your details are out there now. You know,
it gets to the point where you're beaten down by this so much that's it, done.
What I feel quite sorry for is the folk that are maybe not on Facebook, because they think, I don't want any of my details on there, but they're in my address book, so they will definitely now be
some. Yeah, exactly. So there's information out there from people that have not given that consent, and in fact, you shouldn't hold data on people when they haven't given your consent to do it. So meh. Anyway, yeah. It looks like people are on board now.
Yes, we mentioned last week about Apple being fined in China over the iPad trademark. Well, the Chinese authorities are now starting to seize iPads.
Yeah, they're going around shops and taking them. But shop owners are hiding them in the back of storerooms and, in locked cupboards to stop them from nicking them. But yeah, so that looks like Apple might be facing a big fine in China on this, over this.
But it just seems ironic that they'll quite happily, brazenly sell knocked off copies, but the actual real ones that actually are now under the counter. You know, it just seems a total...
And that it is all, asked about face, but I guess, that they've got a point to prove almost, I guess.
Well, there was some... So they're talking now about, that Provia had sued them last December for this $2 billion, $1.6 billion, Apple is appealing. But Provia have also been selling basically an iMac ripoff for the last couple of years as well. And I don't just mean the current iMac. I'm talking about the candy-coloured, big TV ones.
The original iMac, wasn't it?
They've been selling that for the last couple of years. So it's all very murky.
Aye.
All very murky. Two mobile financial stories. Google Wallet hack.
Yes. So it was a kind of, one of the hacks was off a rooted phone. So, you root your phone, your choice. But another one, the other one was, they found a way round. I'm very, very woolly on the how they actually found their way around, but effectively they found a way of taking a payment off of a mobile phone, which isn't good.
No.
But then again, I guess it's a bit like taking money out of your wallet when you're not looking.
Yeah, but you usually think your wallet's nice and safe.
Yeah, but I think we're going to have to treat our phones like that now. Because if you think about the amount of data and information in your phone now, and we're going to come on to the next line item in a minute, which is a similar thing. Effectively, it is like a wallet because it's carrying money and you've got to treat it as such.
I must admit, I protect my phone more than my wallet.
Yeah, I think I do as well now.
Yeah. It's, my wallet, my phone's got a key thing on it. You need to know a code to get in. Yeah. And my wallet sits in my jacket pocket all day at work. And half my day, I'm not at my desk. So anybody listening at work, dip in. Honestly, just have a go. See, if you do, I'll hunt you down.
You'll put a holding page on their website.
Exactly. I might go and get one of those dye. You can get the notes for the dye on it. How cool would that be? Walk in, it's like his purple fingers. So yeah, the The service that's just launched in the UK this week is Ping It from Barclays. Have you tried Ping It?
No.
Oh.
I mean,
oh well, next story. No.
but it's an interesting one. So you basically it's based around an app and allows you to send money to another phone just by effectively using the app to ring that phone and then typing in a number between £1 and £300 and pressing send. As long as that user's number is registered, it will, and effectively you hook up that telephone number to a bank account, it will use the fast transfer service to put the money across.
And I was a bit worried that transfer service might take a while, but it's less than 30 seconds in many cases.
Yeah, so it's using the faster payment service is that new one, which they've kind of said for small amounts, we won't have to go through clearing and all that kind of stuff.
So I downloaded the app. I'm not with Barclays, but I did register. So you can send me money. So
it's a bit like PayPal, where you can send money to an email address, yeah. But then that person has to register with that email address to then go and take the money on.
I think this service is excellent, and it's launched. We're mid February. It's launched for Barclays customers only at the moment, our current account customers. But in early March, it'll be open to everybody. So it's a real march of storm on people, I think.
I think you're right. They kind of suggest it's going to be good for small businesses, but also just for friends wanting to pass money around without actually having to have the cash in your wallet. You've got to think, don't leave your mobile phone on the table at the dinner table, without thinking, I could be losing £300. I guess there are checks and balances put onto that.
I was hoping to try it today. As I said, I signed up for the kind of send money bit, but that's just done online.
A lot of people wouldn't carry around £300 in their wallet for the sheer fact that someone could come and take their wallet. Whereas under duress, because I don't have £300 to put in my wallet, under duress, you could be forced to use this service, couldn't you, to hand over money? And I'm sure that because it's traceable.
Yeah, but under duress, I could be told to, give me your PIN code and let's go to an auto teller and take out money.
But again, that's normally limited to £250, though, isn't it? So it's that kind of amount of money.
To be honest, I'm really pleased. I mean, I guess if you've been in Kenya, you're used to this way of working. I mean, I think in a lot of African countries, they use this, and I think Japan as well, Korea, I think they've been using
phones. I think it'll be used massively. It's such an easy way of doing things.
Absolutely. We're talking about it at work. If we're out for a meal now, there's a few of us, instead of having to go to an auto teller or carry cash, it's just like, okay, let's just split it and I'll just send you.
I can't believe you don't call it a cash machine.
Why?
I've never heard it called an auto teller. Must be a cross-border thing. It's a cash machine, hole in the wall.
I caught a hole in the wall, but it was an auto teller.
No,
I
never used that ever in my life. Never heard it being used in anger, ever. But there you go.
You learn something new every day. Tell me, independence can't come quick enough for you. Gaff of the week.
Gaff, are you sure?
Is Sony Music. So we lost another drug addict this week. So there's no great loss to society. So Whitney Houston passed away at the weekend. But mysteriously, the price of an album went up from £5 to £8 on iTunes Apple Store.
So maybe when people start looking at it more, suddenly it increases. And
so when it went to number two in the iTunes charts,
amazing.
I thought it was amazing as well.
£3 every single sale more. Yeah,
and Apple and Sony copped a lot of bad press for this.
I'm not surprised. And even worse is they didn't admit that this was a deliberate ploy.
And the best bit was the fact that it was only the iTunes one that changed. So Amazon and everywhere else did the same. So a lot of people thought, this is Apple. It's nothing to do with Sony. But after 3 days, Sony did put out a statement saying Whitney Houston product was mistakenly mispriced on the UK iTunes store on Sunday. The mistake was immediately corrected. We apologise for any offence.
No mistakes ever happen on that store. Their process is all locked down and it goes through, several layers of confirmation and all that kind of stuff before it all gets out there. It's
somebody at Sony thought, let's make some money.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all it was.
Kind of wish they just said, because we know more people want to buy it, but that's pretty horrible. But they could never say that, but So just by saying, oh, it's an error and a mistake, it's just rubbish.
Cox.
most
successful Kickstarter so far. Kickstarter we've mentioned a few times.
I think you need to refresh me. I assume it's a kind of business start-off project. Money.
You've not heard of Kickstarter?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you have. This is like Auto Teller. This is like Auto Teller's Revenge. Wow. Kickstarter is an American website, and you must have seen people like putting up products, you know, like I can make this really cool Apple dock if you can give me like, you know, $40,000. And you set up a 3-month period and people will pay, and once you meet your target, then you can go into production and the funds are all released and all that good stuff.
I think this is vaguely ringing a bell now. Yeah.
Oh, you will do.
And, I should listen to our podcast more often.
Maybe I've just never mentioned it and just bought too much through it.
Said in your head. No, you have talked about it, because do you get it cheaper at the beginning than at the end, or is that another thing that I've seen somewhere else?
That's another thing.
Yeah, okay.
What usually happens is that you'll say things like, I can make this cool iPhone bracket, and if you pledge $15, you'll get one of the brackets.
Yes, you've definitely mentioned this.
And you'll get a special silver edition. Plus $100, and I'll love you forever. That's usually the different options you get.
You have mentioned it.
So this was a game. So somebody proposed. So a chap called Tim Schaefer had said his Double Fine studio would work on a Kickstarter game, and it raised over $1 million in 24 hours.
That's amazing.
Now, at first I was like, Tim Schaefer or Schaefer. Never heard of him. So why the big deal? But he was the man behind Day the Technical, Grim Fandango and Full Throttle. And his Double Fine studio is also including Ron Gilbert, the creator of Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion.
This is exciting.
Yeah, so basically they've pledged to work on a point-and-click adventure.
Excellent.
And it is going to come out on Mac, PC, iOS, everywhere.
I came to point-and-clicks late, but I came to them in a very excited manner.
I just loved them. The original Monkey Island. The best bit is I've seen I loved them. I think I've bought Monkey Island 4 times and still never completed them.
Take
my money.
But I went through a stage of playing all of them, and you know, these guys are, you know, big players in that arena. So big expectation, I guess.
Another thing I've got big expectation for, so much so I'll mention it again. Minecraft Lego is now available for pre-order. £35, 480 pieces, and it's out this summer.
And it'll look very good on your shelf, I have no doubt.
It'll look good on my desk at work. I think it's going to be. No, it doesn't. I will be that child.
Yeah. Yes, go and have a look at that.
Now we'll fess up to this one. Henry put this in,
and he couldn't make it tonight.
He couldn't make it, so let's just bluff our way through it. So MIT. So this is, I guess, it's a follow-up to our iTunes U stories from a couple of weeks back. MIT is launching a completely free electronics course.
Are they? And tell me more about that. I'm quite interested.
Oh, okay, Chris, I will. So if you visit the BBC website, you can find out more.
Okay.
So basically, it's a online only. It's completely free. It runs from March to June 2012. You need to sign up to an honor code at enrollment. And I just read all that out. The best bit is I can also tell you need to commit 10 hours a week to it.
Ten hours a week? Crikey, so it's a full-on course?
It is a proper course. And the only reason I know about the 10 hours was one of the chaps at work was mouthing off about it. And he said, it's great, but you do need to make that commitment or else you'll fall behind. So it is a proper course. And
I wonder what the honour code is you have to sign.
No, I no idea. We should probably have done that little bit of research. Eh? I hate when you ask me questions like that. And it's like... I've gone to the site and I'm now going to search for honour. The honour code. In this prototype stage, your online assessment will depend on an honour code in which home students will commit to honest behaviour.
So basically, they're not just plagiarising and stuff. That's what it's kind of saying. It's to make sure they're real people taking part and to make sure that their work is their own.
Yes. In future, the university will use there'll be mechanisms and checks and balances for making sure that your identity and your work is your own.
The only thing but about it's electronics, a proper... is, you know, very hardware specific, I guess.
But I mean, at the end of the day, on your CV, an MIT,
yeah,
you know, certificate.
I haven't got 10 hours a week, unfortunately.
No, neither have I. I would have to, it's lots of things would have to give. speaking of give, let's have some picks.
Let's do it.
I'll let you go first, Chris.
Okay, well, my pick is an iPad app. I don't think we've talked about it before, but we might have done. I'm not sure. It's called Fancy.
You disappoint me. I was wanting you to go Fancy.
Fancy that. And basically, it is a very straightforward app, and it comes up with page after page after page of products, designs, concepts, all sorts of things that are just either, I guess they're just good examples of design and coolness, if I can put it that way. So they might be, you know, really good architecture, a building just highlighted or a nice photo taken by someone. Quite often they're also linked to purchases, so you can actually purchase what you're looking at. But if it's just a really good way to while away quiet time or whatever, just thinking, oh, I might quite like that. But it's quite inspirational in some ways. If you're in the business of making websites and stuff, sometimes it, you know, the design side of things can be really inspirational on this. So yeah, just take a look. It's called Fancy. It's free. It's all good.
Very good. I tried it right at the start, and I must admit, it didn't stick. But I know there's been lots of updates.
I think it's got better at highlighting products and designs and ideas that are just more interesting. Because when it first started, they were struggling to find stuff. But I think they get things fed to them now, which makes their content a whole lot better.
Yeah, and I guess as they get the bigger audience, you know, people tip.
There's been a couple of things in there I just think of. I can't think of what they were. So it's obviously memorable, but they just made me stop and actually look and think, wow, that's amazing.
I will take a look at that. I will install it right after the podcast.
Do that.
My pick is Henry's pick.
Ah. So,
which is...
Didn't Henry nick it from you anyway, though?
Well, he nicked it in my head.
He sideswiped it.
he wrote it in first, so I can't really say that he's nicked it from me when I didn't write anything down. This app got a lot of buzz, and it's Clear, which is a to-do app from Real Mac. So this got a lot of press over the last sort of month. It's basically an app with no buttons. It's full screen, and design-wise, it is very interesting. Very, very interesting. So it's only 69p and it's really simple. You're basically using you either use pinch gestures, and you just open up, and as you open up, a new entry appears and you type in what that to-do is. And if you want to open up a menu underneath that, you can do all that kind of thing very easily. The way it's prioritized isn't by date, it's by order, and it's by color as well. So you can, you know, what's at the top of your list is what you need to do now, and it's in red. And it's also very kind of game orientated. There's as you close things off or sign things off, you'll get little like arcade sounds. So it's a really nice. Design wise, it's very, very clever.
Is it more design than actual usefulness, or does it make you want to use it because it is designed like that?
So it's not. I mean, if I look at OmniFocus, it's like the polar opposite. OmniFocus is your full on. You can do all your getting things done, you know, perspectives and categories and all that. You can do nothing with this. All you can do is type in what I have to do. And even then, they've limited it to, I think it's only about 30 or 40 characters. So it's very, very focused. There's no dates at all. And there's no things like, if I'm in this location, you know, tell me to do this or whatever. Very, very simple. But from a design perspective, it is a real... It's amazing that, you know, we're four or five years into iPhone.
And it still makes you think, yeah.
And it's like a brand. It really is a kind of leap forward for design.
Filter down as well. It always does. It was, you know, like that overextension on the Twitter to refresh your stream.
Oh, you know, yeah. The pull down.
Yeah. So, and the that's filtered down. Everywhere now.
And I've got a couple of examples in this as well. So you can pull down or you can pull up, and it'll wipe away all the ones that you've closed off above. And you get a nice little...
what was that?
So, it's well worth 69p, especially if you're in, I think if you're like an app developer or you're interested in design, you know, if you just downloaded Fancy, I think something like that, you know, just to see the actual app working.
It's probably in fancy somewhere.
Yep, there's no syncing at all. And as I said, it's a very, very straightforward app. But already there's lots of people clamoring for, you know, can we get that on the desktop and can we sync? And I'm sure you're going to see lots of updates. Yep. And it is, I think it's number one in the App Store. You know, it was wildly successful. Good and stuff. That's Clear. And that's our picks. And that's our podcast. If you'd like to find out more, you can find us on the web, www.digitaloutbox.com. You can email us, info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I blog at END.net, and I'm on Twitter as Shweeper. And Chris is on Twitter as...
CheesyUK. And I do have a blog, chrishutchinson.org.uk, and that sort of tailed off again. So it's not very exciting, but maybe one day.
Oh, no, I think your blogging will get exciting.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's us for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll be back again soon. Ta-ra!
Bye-bye.
What a rambling end that was. I was like, I have word diarrhea. I am saying things that I can't finish. Thank you for tuning in to this.